An open letter to the board of directors of Berkshire Hathaway. Welcome to this audio issue of Porter's Daily Journal, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Issue number 25. Volume number 3, Editor's Note, beginning this week, Porter now delivers the Daily Journal every day that markets are open. That is, every weekday, Monday to Friday. Inside today's Daily Journal, essay, an open letter to the board of Berkshire Hathaway strikes on Iran and the flow of oil and gas US LNG could be the winner for now manufacturing expands. Again, chart of the day. Better than Berkshire versus Berkshire, today's mailbag March 2, 2026. Dear esteemed directors, I urge you to return Berkshire Hathaway, BRK, to its original form, the greatest compounding machine the world has ever seen. Berkshire owns some of the world's best insurance companies. For decades, it compounded its equity at more than 20% a year through underwriting profits, by growing its float consistently and by investing that float and all of its earnings into the world's best businesses, such as American Express, AXP, Coca-Cola, KO, and Apple, AAPL. Almost as impressive, it long avoided the conglomerate trap. It didn't buy many whole businesses, whose operations it would have to fund with its own precious cash. And it owned no businesses that Warren Buffett couldn't fully handicap. But, beginning in 2000, and perhaps because of Buffett's age, Berkshire regrettably abandoned that discipline. It has since invested hundreds of billions of its hard-won cash into many businesses that no one can handicap. Worse, it has repeatedly bought whole businesses with very average economics, even when partial stakes of excellent businesses were readily available on the public markets. Perhaps because of a mistaken belief that the resulting tax efficiency would prove more valuable than simply buying the better business. Analysis to follow. Berkshire has now become what Buffett mocked for decades, a conglomerate built for the ego of its management team, not for the benefit of its shareholders. As I will document fully in this letter, the current management team isn't capable of maximizing the return on these assets. That's been proven by their lackluster results for decades. Berkshire's decline in returns is not subtle. It is stark, measurable, and accelerating. Berkshire's descent into conglomerate mediocrity management has warned that this decline in performance is inevitable, a mathematical certainty, they've said. But that isn't true. There is no compelling reason to lash assets that are better funded with debt to the world's best insurance company, which must be funded with equity. Likewise, had Berkshire stuck to owning partial interests in the world's best businesses, instead of having to manage and fund a huge array of mediocre businesses, it would have continued to compound at market-beating rates for many decades to come. Thus, despite the inevitable management claims to the contrary, Berkshire's decline isn't inevitable and you, wise directors, have a legal duty to stop this descent into mediocrity. If the long-term decline isn't yet concerning to you, then the company's Q4 operating earnings collapse of nearly 30% should have shocked you. It didn't surprise me. I've long believed it was inevitable and have warned about this outcome for almost a decade. This is the inexorable mathematical consequence of a doctrine that transformed America's greatest compounding engine into a $1 trillion value trap. The once vaunted Buffett premium has evaporated. It has been replaced with the Berkshire discount. As independent directors, your fiduciary duty under Delaware law is unambiguous: maximize long-term shareholder value. You preside over a fortress balance sheet of $373 billion in cash and equivalents, the world's finest insurance float of $176 billion, at negative cost, and a $298 billion equity portfolio of enduring franchises. Yet you allow this capital to be deployed in a structure that systematically destroys value. The time for nostalgia is over. The institutional imperative must yield to fiduciary obligations. Berkshire Hathaway must be restored using its original structure and strategy, an insurance company funding long-term investments in the world's best companies. Warren Buffett's conceit. As Berkshire Hathaway grew, Buffett began to purchase control stakes in mediocre businesses, rather than owning partial stakes in far superior businesses. The stated rationale for these whole company acquisitions was tax efficiency. Berkshire could reinvest 100% of earnings pre-tax, avoiding dividend taxation. And while that advantage is real, actual results demonstrate that industry realities, scale advantages, and brand values far outclass tax efficiency. Left unspoken was the ego gratification. Buffett clearly believed he could allocate capital in virtually any industry in the world, and do so even more effectively than the best CEOs in those industries. He was woefully wrong. The results of Buffett's conceit have been a hidden catastrophe for the shareholders of Berkshire for more than two decades, since around 2000. Where Berkshire invested a large amount of capital in a control transaction, the public company analog, with superior unit economics, scalable growth, brand power, capital efficiency, and reinvestment opportunities, have produced compounding differentials of +4% to +14% annually. Over decades, this massive outperformance gap overwhelms any tax or control advantage. All compounded annual growth rates, CAGR, below have been independently verified against historical total shareholder returns, price appreciation plus reinvested dividends, adjusted for splits, and Berkshire's own reported private returns. These are not hindsight exercises. In each case, at the precise moment of acquisition, the public alternative was the obvious superior business, larger scale, stronger moat, faster growth, higher return on invested capital, ROIC, and readily available. Berkshire itself often held or sold the public analog contemporaneously. Here are the seven clearest examples. See's Candies, 1972, $25 million, versus the Hershey Company, HSY. Hershey was the undisputed national confectionery leader with coast-to-coast distribution and brand dominance. See's was a superb but regional player. Verified CAGRs. Hershey 12.7% final value, $9.9 billion, See's 8.3%, $1.6 billion, Delta, $8.3 billion, Nebraska Furniture Mart, 1983, $60 million, versus the Home Depot, HD. The Home Depot had already gone public, 1981, and was executing the most explosive national rollout in retail history with superior same-store growth and capital returns. Verified CAGRs, Home Depot 22.2%, more than $222 billion, Nebraska Furniture Mart, 8.9%, $2.24 billion, Delta, $220 billion, Dairy Queen, 1998, $585 million, versus McDonald's, MCD. Contemporaneous choice, Berkshire sold its McDonald's stake around 1998 while taking 100% of the clearly inferior regional franchise, Dairy Queen. Verified CAGRs, McDonald's 10.8%, $9.45 billion, Dairy Queen 4.0%, $1.20 billion, Delta, $8.25 billion, a mistake Buffett himself later called one of his largest net jets, 1998, cumulative capital about $18.7 billion, versus General Dynamics, GD Gulfstream. Berkshire sold General Dynamics shares contemporaneously with its purchase of NetJets. General Dynamics then acquired Gulfstream, May 1999, the premium business jet franchise with far superior economics and growth. Verified CAGRs, GD 6.5%, $76.2 billion, NetJets 5.7%, $2.62 billion, Delta, $73.6 billion. Clayton Homes, 2003, $1.7 billion, versus NVR, NVR. NVR was already recognized by top investors as America's highest quality, most profitable home builder with exceptional returns on capital. Verified CAGRs, NVR 13.7%, $25.9 billion, Clayton Homes 6.9%, $5.3 billion, Delta, $20.6 billion, Berkshire later bought NVR shares. Underscoring the company's superiority, BNSF Railway, 2009-2010, $34.5 billion equity value, versus basket of public railroads, Union Pacific, CSX, Norfolk Southern. Buffett built stakes in the clear industry leaders during the 2006-07 activist wave. He then sold those stakes to fund 100% ownership of the persistently weaker performing BNSF. Verified CAGRs, public rail basket 15.5%, $227.6 billion, BNSF 5.9%, $39 billion, Delta, $188.6 billion, Berkshire Hathaway Energy, cumulative heavy investment since 2000, versus ExxonMobil, XOM. The pivot into regulated utilities brought massive capital intensity, wildfire liabilities, electrical power provider PacifiCorp alone estimated at $50 billion by analysts, and valuation collapse. Top Berkshire exec and now CEO Greg Abel's 2022 repurchase implied $87 billion BHE valuation, and Buffett's purchase of BHE holdings from the estate of longtime friend Walter Scott in 2024 implied a $49 billion valuation. That's a 45% destruction in 24 months. Verified CAGRs, ExxonMobil 5.7%, $99.8 billion, BHE minus 2.8%, minus $51.3 billion, Delta exceeds $150 billion. On a capital-weighted basis, these decisions have cost Berkshire's investors almost $1 trillion. In short, simply buying a substantial stake in the very best public company would have produced massively superior results, and, perhaps more importantly, would not have saddled Berkshire with huge, ongoing capital expenditures and the management challenge of trying to efficiently allocate capital in dozens of different industries. Buffett and Munger's strategy, for decades, was to invest in wonderful businesses at fair prices. The take-private strategy repeatedly violated that axiom by choosing fair businesses at good prices instead. Berkshire's inherent structural absurdity. Berkshire's current structure makes no sense. Insurance demands near -100% equity capitalization to absorb tail risks. Railroads and regulated utilities demand high leverage to achieve acceptable returns on equity. Trapping both inside the same equity fortress is financial malpractice. Berkshire's $373 billion cash hoard, yielding treasury bill rates, is being used, in economic substance, to fund asphalt, turbines, and railcars. The result is a consolidated return on equity, ROE, of 10%. That's unacceptable. The board must restructure the business. Berkshire Hathaway is suffocating the world's greatest insurance company by burying it underneath a poorly managed railroad, a power company on the verge of litigation-induced bankruptcy, and dozens of other mediocre businesses that can't substantially out-earn the cost of Berkshire's equity-funded capital. Outside of Buffett's desire to avoid seeing his company broken up, there is no explanation for Berkshire's current structure. Berkshire is just another poorly run conglomerate. Berkshire's decentralized model, once a virtue, has bred inertia. Geico versus Progressive, PGR. The Geico insurance company that Berkshire owns has hemorrhaged market share while Progressive leveraged superior data science and telematics. Geico's blunt rate hikes have lowered retention rates, while Progressive nearly doubled policies since 2020. Berkshire Hathaway Energy wildfire liabilities. Analyst estimates $50 billion at PacifiCorp, and reserves cover only a fraction. Kraft Heinz, KHC, and Shaw. Multiple impairments, brand equity destroyed by cost-cutting, and management admits execution failures. Precision Cast Parts is the single worst investment Buffett ever made, and led to a $10 billion write-off within 4 years. There is no conceivable future where this investment creates a happy outcome for Berkshire. These are the results of a management team that's been asleep at the wheel for 2 decades. And the most recent quarterly results, a 30% decline in operating earnings, reveal how poorly managed Berkshire's operating companies have become. Change is needed now. Save the shareholders. Berkshire Hathaway must be restructured to realize the enormous value of its insurance companies and its investment portfolio. It is urgent that this occurs before the huge risks in the other businesses overwhelm the entire company. My proposed restructuring would unlock approximately $300 billion in enterprise value and re-rate the core business to a premium multiple. Berkshire should be restructured into 5 different businesses, organized around industries and optimal capital structure. New Berkshire Hathaway Spin Co. Insurance plus equities portfolio, about $600 billion. Retain $100 billion cash for catastrophic reserves. Freed of litigation risk and hundreds of billions in subpar businesses, this pure-play insurance compounder will command a 20x earnings multiple. BNSF Railway SpinCo, about $160 billion. Leverage appropriately, pay a regular dividend. Force the management team to compete on merit without the Santa Claus parent company. Berkshire Hathaway Energy SpinCo, about $50 billion. Public utility investors will price the dividend yield and isolate wildfire risk. This must happen now. Heavy Manufacturing SpinCo, Precision Cast Parts et al., about $75 billion. Again, these businesses should be funded by debt and they should pay investors a dividend. Consumer and Retail SpinCo, See's Candies, Dairy Queen, Nebraska Furniture Mart, Clayton Homes, NetJets, Pilot Flying J, about $110 billion. Brand-centric, consumer growth company. Freed to allocate capital into growth opportunities, this could become a rival to consumer products giant Procter & Gamble, PG. Liquidate these laggards, Kraft Heinz, KHC, Steak, Shaw, etc. about $15 billion immediate cash. This restructuring would unlock a huge amount of value and allow Berkshire's managers to unshackle themselves from what they've complained about for decades, too much capital. After prudent reserves, $273 billion in excess cash would remain. Berkshire could immediately issue a $250 billion special dividend. Hoarding that much capital inside a 10% ROE conglomerate is management malpractice. The board must take action. Your responsibility. Berkshire Hathaway is not merely a company. It is an American institution whose stewardship affects millions of shareholders, retirees, and the broader economy. Berkshire in its original strategy served brilliantly in the 20th century. Today, however, instead of being a leader, it has become a 21st century anchor. It is time to rejuvenate capitalism's best all-time compounding machine. And it is your responsibility to do so now. The institutional imperative whispers do nothing. Fiduciary duty, and the verified mathematics of declining ROE demand you act. Return Berkshire to its original, high-row form, the world's best insurance and investments compounder. The shareholders of Berkshire Hathaway, and the nation that has long looked to Omaha for capital allocation excellence, await your response. Respectfully and urgently, Porter Stansberry. Tell me what you think. PorterStansberryDirect@gmail.com. Good investing. Porter Stansberry Stevenson, Maryland. Presented by Paradigm Press. The All-In Summit. Your next move. Paradigm Press top three experts, Jim Rickards, James Altucher, and Enrique Abeda, just went live with an urgent briefing, where they revealed the number one idea that they're going all in on. This single idea in the coming weeks, beginning with a new initiative from President Trump, represents a major transformation of the U.S. economy. Make sure you are caught up on everything ASAP. Click here for the details. Editor's note: keep in mind, we only accept advertising from publishers we know to offer well-researched ideas vetted by a legal team, excellent customer service, and reasonable refund policies. Paradigm Press is one such partner. We do not, however, under any circumstances make any representations about their investment ideas or strategies, nor will we warrant them as equal to our own. We do recognize that the markets are tempestuous, and, at times, ideas that we may not endorse prove valuable. Three things to know before we go. 1. A new war in the Middle East. The U.S. and Israel launched a targeted bombing campaign against Iran that eliminated the nation's supreme leader. Iran retaliated against Israel and U.S. military bases in nearby countries including Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. Energy infrastructure is under attack, and shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, where roughly 20% of global oil and liquefied natural gas, LNG, exports flow each day, has been disrupted. Oil prices rose 7% today, and European natural gas prices jumped as much as 50%. 2. Bad news for Europe is great news for Venture Global. Europe's dependence on geopolitically vulnerable LNG supply chains makes U.S. Gulf Coast export supplies increasingly valuable. Complete investor recommendation: Venture Global, VG, which operates massive LNG facilities in Louisiana, far from Middle Eastern conflict zones, surged as much as 20% today following the attack on Iran, and a Q4 earnings beat. According to Goldman Sachs research, even a one-month closure of the Strait of Hormuz could cause European gas prices to double from today's already elevated levels. The longer this conflict drags on, the more the world will need American LNG, and VG is ideally positioned to benefit. 3. U.S. manufacturing activity strengthens again. This morning, the Institute of Supply Management, ISM, reported that its U.S. Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, came in at 52.4 for February, down slightly from January's 52.6, but still comfortably above the key 50 level separating expansion from contraction. After contracting for 10 straight months through December 2025, back-to-back expansionary readings suggest this isn't just a seasonal head fake. Chart of the day: Porter & Company's Better Than Berkshire versus Berkshire Hathaway. To show how much better Berkshire Hathaway would perform if, instead of owning a huge number of mediocre businesses, it instead held the world's best businesses, Porter launched the Better Than Berkshire portfolio in May 2025. The index matches Berkshire's asset allocation with publicly traded alternatives to Berkshire's current holdings. Since then, Better Than Berkshire has generated a 14% return versus the conglomerate's embarrassing 1.8% decline. Mailbag: if there is no viable solution, there is no problem? Kent P. writes, Porter, I enjoyed reading Friday's journal, and the last one too. Really, I rarely, if ever, hear anyone actually talking sense. It's always what they want me to believe they think. The masses are being hoodwinked for someone's perceived gain. I'll give you credit for stepping into the fray. Still, if there is no viable solution, there is no problem. Really? I can't let that go unchallenged. If the tsunami is about to kill me where I stand and there is no time to reach safety, then I do not have a problem? It reminds me of how Paul Harvey would slip little non sequiturs into his monologues to deceive his listeners. Perhaps you could flesh out what you meant. Still a subscriber. Thanks. Porter comment: Kent, if there is no way to save yourself, you're dead already. But every prediction of the same, in regard to human life on this planet, was wrong. And so was peak oil, the Malthusian starvation narrative, etc., all of them. It's just logic. If there is no solution, there is no problem. But what this really teaches is, there was no real problem in the first place. Funny you should say that now. Dan F. writes, Hi Porter, I've been reading your work for about 10 years now, so I've been aware of the points you make in The End of America for quite a while, and it's remained in the back of my mind all these years as I've finished my career in dentistry and retired. My unfortunate situation is that 4 of my 5 beloved cadults, which is what I call my adult children, live here, in Portland, Oregon, so I am stuck. We're in the forefront of what you describe, and we already have a leg up on that scenario since half of our police force quit a few years ago and we remain well below what we need to actually enforce the few laws we have left. Even if they arrest them, though, the criminals are back on the streets automatically in 60 days for misdemeanors and 90 days for felonies if their cases haven't come to trial. This is due to a recent landmark decision by the Oregon Supreme Court that requires dismissal of cases that have not come to trial in those timeframes. Why is this? This is how the court addressed the problem of too few public defenders in our state. As my wife and I have put time and money into revamping the landscaping of our house, since we finally accepted that we will not move away from the fam, I've been internally musing on your writings, and the fact that Portland has the second highest rate of property crime per capita in the US. We also have increasing numbers of anarchists, and potential anarchists, because of the sinking ship that is the US economy overall, and the Oregon economy in particular. So while I am grateful every day for what I have, I am also painfully aware of what's coming, and your observations continue to seem spot on. I hope your Trump derangement syndrome finds meaningful relief, Bill D. writes. Porter, I hope your Trump derangement syndrome finds meaningful relief someday. It is clear to see your infliction is serious. Is your best tariff argument only a Democrat talking point? Tariffs are taxes and that's all you need to know? What about how they have been used to open markets for the US, like our cars having a market in the EU for just one example? Does the phrase level the playing field resonate with you at all? Do you really feel Congress should be in charge of tariffs? That would be disastrous, because the historical irony is, they created the economic emergency Trump is trying to fix. In addition, Congress is broken. Only one party cares about the USA, the other only wants re-election and power. And they did such a great job for our country during the 12 years of Biden and Obama. Hope you get better soon. Porter comment. Sigh. By its very nature, the science is never settled. Ian C. writes, Hi Porter, I've been a subscriber for many years. The reason is simple. I enjoy the cogent, no BS approach you take to a variety of issues and then weave them into a plausible underpin for your investment thesis. Well done and keep it up. In the recent article about climate change, I simply cannot agree more with you. When I hear the comment the science is settled, my eyes glaze over. By its very nature, science is never settled. It's just not fully disclosed / discovered. If you haven't read it yet, may I recommend a book by Professor Ian Plimer, head of geology at the University of Melbourne? He took the IPCC data and used it all to conclude a completely different hypothesis to the standard that CO2 is bad and the root cause of all evil. It's a masterclass in exposing the corrupt agenda-driven religion that's climate change. Importantly, he's no climate denier. He's merely saying sunspot activity is a greater driver of climate change than CO2, and provides the logic behind that argument. But then the killer comment is it's clearly easier to tax CO2 production than sunspot activity. Makes you think. So thanks for your provocative thoughts and keep them up. There are certain industries we dare not allow to be controlled by our nation's enemies. Ben T. writes, I agree with what you say, but there are certain essential industries which we dare not allow to be controlled by the nation's enemies. Bringing these back to the US, even if more costly in the short run, deleverages control from hostile regimes. Our government has a long history of punishing the productive, though. Because I continue to work and earn at a high level, I am paying about 9 times the usual Medicare premiums for my wife and me, while also paying Medicare tax on my earnings, about $500 per month. The total is roughly 200% of the cost of medical insurance through my employer. Porter comment. Ben, the US spends $1 trillion a year on the military, which is as much as the rest of the world, combined. Why? There is no credible international threat to our sovereignty and there hasn't been since the Civil War. Even so, the best way to ensure that our military-industrial complex remains the best in the world is through the crucible of global competition. The sure way to end up with Soviet-level military equipment is doing as you suggest. By the way, we have 5,000-plus thermonuclear warheads, each of which could completely destroy the largest cities in the world. We have the capability to drop these down someone's chimney within an hour of the order being given, anywhere in the entire world. And that,